Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN. All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com.
We feel so lucky to get Jason Wilde here on this program 3 times a week so he can fill us in on all the things happening at 1265. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
What a nice introduction. I'm a little under the weather. How are you guys?
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, pal.
Well, thanks, buddy.
We're good, generally speaking. Chewy's playing 4D chess over there with the old wife at home, but we'll get into that with you a little bit later. I want to start with this. There's so much conversation around Rich Bisaccia stepping down. We talked about it at length yesterday. And I know it can feel a little like, really? Special teams coordinator? Associate head coach? Is this really that big of a deal? But what I'm trying to reconcile is, how big of a loss is this for the Green Bay Packers? Not long after anyone you put a microphone in front of complimented Rich Bisaccia for his leadership and the culture he brought to the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. And I think that's a healthy exercise to be trying to reconcile. I just, you know this from having done this job for a long time. Like, we're kind of wired to be skeptical, right? There's an old journalism saying about how if your mom tells you that she loves you, verify your sources. Like, there's something about this that just feels a little bit off. And because all we got was a press release with a bunch of lengthy quotes from the head coach and from the former special teams coordinator, it just, now I have questions. And whether or not there was, you know, some sort of friction or not, whether there was, this was just as simple as Rich Bisaccia reflected for a few weeks and decided he wanted to do something else, whatever it may be, this much is clear. The timing is a problem because we're 40 days after their loss to the Bears, and there's been a bunch of teams that have hired special teams coordinators. And now the Packers are the last dog at the bowl trying to find somebody to replace him. And oh, by the way, a guy that would have made sense to promote if they would have known that Rich Bisaccia was departing has already left to go to the Browns and Byron Storer. So it just doesn't feel like it adds up. And when I have something like that, I am very, you know, eager to get more information, and there hasn't been any. So, you know, that reconciliation process is a little bit challenging.
I agree, Jason, with the other, the assistant leaving. Let's say Rich, you know, was thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't LaFleur go to him and say, hey, Rich, I kind of need a decision because we're going to lose this guy beneath us. Could you tell me, are you coming or you're going, because we want to hire this guy? So I don't think that happened. What do you think it was, though? You think they were going to remove a tag from him, or?
I don't. I don't, because of the timing of it, right? Like, if you were thinking about, you know, I don't know, taking away something, which I don't even know what you take away, right? You
mean like the associate head coach or whatever?
Yeah, but why would you do that when everybody and their brother is talking about how valuable he is to the culture? I mean, the reason why it doesn't add up is because I know so many people in the building, like everyone from fellow coaches and players to like the equipment staff, and I like he just he really was no matter how you felt about his special teams units on the outside, he really was like authentically respected and highly thought of by just about everybody that works there. So, yeah, I mean, if he was thinking about this, and Matt LaFleur knew he was, then why are we sitting here in the back end of February and we finally got the decision from him on it? You know, like I just, again, it's, and I don't like, you know, as Jen so eloquently and nicely put it, about how lucky you are to have me. You're not lucky today. I don't have any answers for you, and that irritates me.
So, Jason, with the respect that he had and the way that everybody talks about him, and I've seen the Aaron Rodgers quote going around of how much he respected Rich Bisaccia, did they respect Rich as a guy or respect Rich as a coach?
Ooh, that's a good line of demarcation there. Not that there are any lines of demarcation, especially at 30 years old on the roster. I think they respected him as both. I mean, look, I know the frustration that special teams gave fans. I totally am aware of it. I'm not an ostrich with my head buried in the sand. I understand it. At the same time, there were aspects of the special teams that were quite good. Right?
The coverage units were coverage units were good this year, Jason. Coverage units were good.
Right. And their return units were not.
Very bad. Stinky, even.
But again, like I don't understand when we look at the big picture of that, is that Rich Bisaccia? Is that the blocking scheme? Or is it the fact that you put your first round pick on punt returns after you lost Jaden Reed and he never returned a punt in his life? And now he's doing it in the NFL. Like, is that a personnel issue or is that a coordinator issue? Right? So, again,
well,
there's
I mean,
a lot
Jason, I say it's an organizational issue because, as Bill Huber pointed out, Bill's the one who posted the special teams rankings from this past year. They haven't been a net positive since 2007. So go ahead. I mean, Rich leaving, I guess I'm bummed that he's gone for the guys that liked him. But I don't think it matters who they hire as the special teams coordinator. It's going to be more of the same. Because they've been the same since 2007.
Right. And you know, the way those are graded, and I know Bill doesn't do it as extensively as Rick Goslin used to from the Dallas Morning News, which obviously there were like 20-some categories that created those comprehensive grades. But the fact of the matter is the special teams has a wide variance of factors in how good as a whole you are, right? Like the defense or the offense, we can measure in specific ways, right?
Yep.
Points scored, points allowed, yards, third down conversion rate, etc. Special teams, your grade gets dragged down if your kicker sucks, right? And he misses a bunch of field goals like Anders Carlson did in 2023. Right? So, like, again, it's not as straightforward as this side of the ball is good, this side of the ball is bad, because there are so many things that go into a special teams ranking. And, you know, I was explaining this to Homer last night, the way Rick Goslin did his grades, which, I mean, Rick's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And this was an innovative thing that no one had ever done before. It was kind of his signature thing. But so Daniel Whelan led the NFL in gross punting average, right?
Yep.
So the Packers are number one, okay? So you get 1 point. And the goal of your composite score is to have the lowest score possible. It means you're ranked highly in every category. Well, I think they finished last in the NFL in punt return average, maybe, if not last, close to it. So now you get 30, 32 points for that one. So now, you have a great punter, but in the composite rankings, the fact that you have no punt return game whatsoever drags you back down. Mm-hmm. And the Packers have too many categories where they're in the 20s or worse, and so even the things that they do well aren't enough to combat that. And I look, if you're frustrated with special teams, I think they were, I think I had in my story, I think they were 10th in the NFL in special teams penalties, 10th most. So that right, that doesn't help you, right? That hurts you. But at the same time, like, the stuff that they did poorly, they did really poorly. The return game, there's no excuse. And you saw what Rashid Shaheed did for the Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks. You saw what a difference he made. Mm-hmm. And the Packers got none of that bounce. You saw with your own eyes the difference that Keyshawn Nixon made when he was returning kickoffs for your team. You got none of that this year. So that those are pretty glaring areas. Going through that midseason issue where you didn't just put your kicker on IR for 4 weeks so he could get squared away. And then the fact that we are always affected by the last thing we see in the season. And the last thing we saw from Brandon McManus, who stood in the locker room in Chicago and said, this is the worst game I've ever had, and it's at the worst possible time, and I feel like I lost the game for our team. That's the image of their kicking game, right, that we take away. You lose it by 4 points in a game where your kicker misses two field goals and an extra point. So I get it. The special teams were not good enough. But to your point, Gabe, it's a tradition unlike any other in Green Bay.
Jason, I saw a tweet very quickly that basically was saying that, you know, the teachers that you liked the most in school were the ones that didn't grade the homework and let you swear. Was Rich Bisaccia that guy? Or was he? Did he hold guys accountable? Because we were talking about that yesterday on this program. What even is culture? And we all sort of decided that culture is also part of holding guys accountable, which is something we have been critical about for the Green Bay Packers in recent years. Did you get the vibe that Rich Bisaccia was like the easy teacher, the path of least resistance?
No, I did not. And I think if you talk to Zane Anderson or Bo Melton, look, Chewy, back me up on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you played in a different era, right? And maybe there are more players nowadays that want the easy teacher that is an easy A and lets you chew gum in class and shoot spitballs. But I think the best players want to be coached, and they want to be accountable because they want to get better, and they want to stay in the league, and they want to make more money. And they know that coaches who do that help their chances of that. And I would say that the guys on special teams, they are not the bonus babies, right? Mm-hmm. They're not the guys that are, you know, really. Although I should add, Rich Bisaccia used a hell of a lot of starters on special teams, right? Like Xavier McKinney and Evan Williams and Edgerrin Cooper and Isaiah McDuff. Like, there were a lot of guys that were on special teams that are starting. But like, Xavier McKinney was on kickoff coverage. He was a two-time All-Pro. So it's not like he didn't do that either. So, no, I don't. I understand that narrative, but I don't think that's the case with Bisaccia. I really don't. And that's a funny quote, and it's a good tweet. Oh, yeah, well, my favorite teacher let me swear in class. But I don't think that's true. I just don't. And you know, being around those guys and being around Rich, like, he wouldn't throw guys under the bus publicly in press conferences. But, you know, I'm pretty confident that in that meeting room for their wee fence, he told it like it was. And I think guys appreciated that about him.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
I'll try and get my voice a little bit better by the time we start
our show.
That
sounds good. All right, everybody. And deep.
Thank you.
Yes.
I appreciate that. I've never sounded better, Chew. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.